Passionate Talk Radio with Dr. Pat Basile. Crust busting your way to an awesome life on America's Voice. VoiceAmerica.com.
You have just stepped into a crust-free zone with Dr. Pat Basile. What is crust? Well, crust is that stuff that stands between you and what you want out of life. Crust is what keeps you stuck. Crust is anything you think, feel, or believe that prevents you from living your deepest heart's desire. So get ready to do some serious crust busting with Dr. Pat Basile and break through those layers of crusty conditioning to reveal the unlimited possibilities available to you to live your life full out. Dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Well, good morning, everyone. And, you know, for those of you that are listening to the archives, good day to you, whatever day it is, whatever time of the day it is you're listening to this show. Thank you so much for tuning in each week. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, and I've been doing this show for a long time, and I do it because each and every one of you is here to make a difference in this world. And my guest today is an amazing individual. She is absolutely, unbelievably, without a doubt, a phenomenon in the world of cognitive appraisal therapy. And I want to talk a little bit about what she is doing so you have a sense of why this show is so important. My guest today is Dr. Sheena Hankin, and believe me, she is sought after by not only her clients, but the media and everyone on this planet that is looking to live a different life. She is an absolutely amazing individual. She's been interviewed by the New York Times, Newsweek, Vogue, Redbook, and the New York Post. She has conducted workshops all over North America and Europe, and she lives in New York City. And believe me, to be at the top of your game in this field in New York City is an unbelievable accomplishment and demonstrates, and let me use her new book, what it means to be in this world in complete confidence. Thank you, Dr. Hankin, for joining the show today.
And thank you for that amazing introduction.
Well, this is such an important title. I want to ask you, I mean, each of us has our story. There's a question that I ask each and every one of my guests. It actually came from my listeners, and it goes like this. Here you are with this thriving practice, with this amazing book, the work that you're doing to help so many people, radio shows, TV, all of that. And the question that I'd like to ask you is, in this world of thriving and, you know, being at the top of your game, have you ever had any days where you just didn't think you were going to bust through what I call the crust, or have you had obstacles that you've had to bust through to bring you to this very moment?
Oh, I think the first half of my life so far, I just didn't think beyond what you call the crust. I really was a needy, dependent woman who never thought she could take care of herself, and it was a crisis, a major crisis in my life that made me face the future and make one of two decisions. I could have gone down the alcoholic road like my father, or I could have stood there, no money, four small boys, no husband anymore, a sudden and horrible divorce, and no possessions, and go forward and make a living and take care of these guys. And I chose to do that, go back to school, you know, was a welfare mom for a while, got some help from the British government, went back to school, finished my education. I at least had that, which was great. I'd done most of that. And then went to work, and here I am today pinching myself some days.
I know, isn't it great?
Amazing. It's amazing. Can't believe this happened. My husband once said to me, my present husband, Richard, been married for 20 years, Sheena, go out and make the grocery money. That's all I ask of you. Because I was offended by that idea. But I tease him today. Look what happened. You shouldn't have said that.
Sheena's going out now and buying the grocery store.
That's right.
Oh, boy, we have so much fun on this show, don't we?
We do.
Let me ask you about the book, Complete Confidence, a handbook. And, you know, I love the cover. Let me ask you about it. There are so many reasons why different people write different books.
Right.
And, you know, you talk about why you wrote this book.
I wrote this book specifically to make a difference in the world. I know it's a grandiose dream, but I wanted to do it. I was in a psychology conference listening to people go on and on about things that no one's interested in. Philosophy, ideas that were not relevant to my patients who were coming in to me and paying me a considerable fee, because that's what happens when you get to the top of the tree, and to get confident, frankly. And I thought, you know, this is not going to work. Let's go out and write a book that people can buy, that they can afford, and anyone can get the help that we offer, and train themselves to manage their emotions so they can get out of their own way. And I really wanted to do that. And I started it that very day that I had that insight. It's a big deal to write a book, especially if you work full-time. But I really wanted to do that. It's a mission of mine, to have people, to have available all that I've done in 20 years and learn to do for myself and other people, so you can actually train yourself to be confident. You really can. It's a skill.
And you talk about that, and how gracious of you to say that to all of our listeners, because we don't think sometimes, especially where we are in, as I call it, you know, the crusted eruption of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
We just do not really see a way that we can get out. And you say in this book, and by the way, I read every book that I get, so, you know, I really want to commend you for putting this book together in a way that so many people can really understand it and get it. You come right out of the gate in chapter, I think it's chapter one or two, and you say your feelings are the problem.
That's exactly right. And not only do we believe our feelings, we've been told to believe, to trust our feelings. That came out of the 70s, you know, trust your feelings, go with your feelings. I would have killed every one of my four children if I trusted my feelings, because at times they really got to me. And every mother who's listening knows that moment. You don't do it, you don't even think of doing it, but you feel like it. And that's a terrible feeling, to be that angry and that out of control. So frankly, feelings are not good guides to action, and they're certainly not a good guide to who you are. If you feel like a loser, if you feel stupid or fat or too old or ugly, like a loser, that is a shame feeling. That is not a fact. Every one of us is brilliant. We have an amazing brain. And if we can get the feelings calmed down and managed, just like we manage other things in our lives, we can do whatever it is we think of doing. Because people don't reach for things that are impossible. They don't.
No.
I don't try and climb Everest, do you?
No, but I don't mind taking the first hill.
Right.
That looks like I can do it.
That's right. But if I really wanted to, I'd do it.
Right? Exactly.
Whatever your dream is, whatever your hope is, or whatever, even if you don't have any, if you're so down on yourself, so full of shame and self-pity, you feel so helpless, there's something in there that you can give to yourself if you manage those feelings and don't trust them. It's really important. In fact, we create our own feelings, really.
Well, isn't it like a snowball effect sometimes?
Yeah.
With our emotions?
It really is. It really is. And it's amazing how many people know something very special. They know when people are emotionally immature. They'll say, he's a baby. You know, he acts like a kid. He ought to grow up, or she ought to grow up. You know, we make those critical statements of others because we kind of recognize that some people are just very emotionally immature, very self-critical, handle anger in a way, you know, raging and sulking, which kids do, or anxious, and this is my big one, anxious about things that are not frightening. I want every one of my readers to get to the point where they're not frightened of anything that isn't real. And luckily for all of us right now in our lives, not much really dangerous happens to us.
No,
it isn't. We react to things we shouldn't be scared of. You know, I used to be scared of spiders. Can you imagine? In England, they're totally harmless, right?
Yes, exactly. And look at our size.
You're scared of me.
You know what I'm saying? But you're absolutely right. There are things that are, you know, in you know, that we go, things that happen to us each day, the way we go through our lives, that if we're not mindful, we can get hurt. For example, you know, if you're playing chicken with a red light in New York City.
Yes, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, if you think you're going to cross the street, you know, when the traffic is moving, that's a risk that you take. But there's no doubt about it. If you don't time it just right, you're going to be roadkill.
You don't take care of yourself and take risks like that, then you are in danger. But that's not taking care of yourself. That's not taking care of your feelings. Creating feelings. The thing that people are most frightened of that I find is criticism, though. Criticism is a horror for many of us. It creates terror. It even causes people to get depressed. They're so frightened of the world, of being criticized, so angry and so ashamed when it happens that they actually get depressed and hide out. You know, it's really true.
Don't you think that's because we put meaning to it?
Well, we believe it. I mean, first of all, we believe it and we make it worse. And we don't see it for the real reason that, you know, sometimes criticism is warranted if it's of something we're doing. Sometimes someone's just having a hissy fit. Right?
Right.
If you're married to them, right?
Right. We've all had these, you know?
Of course, but you need to be able to manage that shame and not take it personally. I have a whole system for that. It's not enough for me to say it. You have to learn how to do that. It's a skill to to learn how to build that resilience, to, you know, not be thin-skinned. And I don't mean being self-centered. I mean really not being thin-skinned, to be able to say, rather than, oh, God, how could they do this to me? It's not fair. It's whatever. Saying, you know, what's going on with this person that they're so angry? Right?
Well, you know, and I love the way you point this out in the book. First of all, you talk about the 5 immature emotional habits, and we're going to talk about this after our break. We're going to take a short break and come back. And for those of you just tuning in, I'm here with Dr. Sheena Hankin, and we are talking about her book. And this is a book that each and every one of us could benefit from because it's about our confidence. The book is called Complete Confidence, and it is a handbook. There are many, many things in here that you will find absolutely amazing in terms of how you can pick yourself up and live the life that you want to live. And so we're here today. We're talking about the book. We're talking about this amazing concept and approach that Dr. Hankin has put together. We will talk about the 5 immature emotional habits, and it's an amazing way that you put this together in this book. And there, you know, we'll talk about the hand and what that means in terms of this book. I'm Dr. Pat Basile. I'm right here on Voice America every week, America's Voice. We are bringing to you very, very powerful shows like today's show so that you can live life full out. We're going to take a short break, a word from our amazing sponsors, and when we come back, more with Dr. Hankin and how you can have complete confidence. Stay tuned.
The world leader in Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
Introducing the world's first healthy coffee, already in 20 countries around the world, and finally available in North America. You won't believe how great you'll feel drinking this delicious gourmet coffee delivering the king of herbs, Ganoderma lucidum. 2.4 billion pounds, one-third of all coffee consumed in the world is consumed in the USA. That's 250 million cups per day. The average American consumes 3 to 4 cups daily. How would you like to start your own coffee distribution for as little as $305? Become part of the community of health-conscious coffee drinkers and make as much money as you want working from home. Imagine building a residual income from one of the world's most popular beverages. It doesn't get any easier than this. Inviting people to try a healthy gourmet coffee that will save them thousands of dollars a year. Get Ganoderma for your health and wealth. Call now for more information at 877-514-2233 to find out more. Again, that number is 877-514-2233 or visit us at gotgano.org.
Are you ready to move onward and upward physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Shift happens through professional coaching with Brenda Miller. Begin your journey of self-exploration and learning. Join certified professional coach Brenda Miller in a client-coach partnership. For more information, call Brenda at 206-529-8282. That's 206-529-8282. Or visit BrendaMiller.org. That's BrendaMiller.org.
Dr. Pat Basile.
The world leader in Internet Talk Radio. Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to America's Voice, VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to Crustbusting Your Way to an Awesome Life with Dr. Pat. If you would like to participate in today's program, call in at 1-888-335-5204. Now let's join Dr. Pat for some serious crustbusting.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for listening to the show. What an amazing show we have today for you. Dr. Sheena Hankin is here with us. And Dr. Hankin is one of New York's most popular psychotherapists. She is also an amazing media savvy expert. She is known for her analysis of psychology news behind the news. A smart, sexy, sensible, this is an amazing individual who is really living her dream. Her dream is to get out there and help each and every one of us to take our lives and live them full out, as we would say on this show. And she's done so in this amazing book, Complete Confidence. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Please feel free to call in and get your question on the table. You will not have another opportunity like this in your life. This is an amazing individual, unless, of course, you go to see her personally in New York. Well, thank you so much for joining the show, Dr. Hankin.
Thank you for asking me.
Let's talk about the five fingers of the losing hand.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the, you mean the emotional habits on the losing hand.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing that on the first finger is what I call fiction-based anxiety. And that's anxiety about things that aren't frightening, like the neighbors won't like me, or if I speak up, I'm going to get fired, or if I ask this guy out on a date, he's going to think I'm forward and want sex. You know, all these kind of misassumptions we make are scary. Us. And they're not true at all. We should never do anything based on an idea that something's dangerous when it isn't. The second one is immature anger. This is a very, very big point for me. We have to manage anger maturely. And what I mean is that people who don't act like kids, they rage and scream and bully us, or they sulk and act passive-aggressively, and we don't know what's going on, and we begin to beg them to come back to us, and then it gets worse and worse. Immature anger is a killer to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Inappropriate guilt, and this is a huge, huge issue about pleasing others and not doing what we think is right because we feel guilty if other people are disappointed. I want everyone listening to go out there who's a pleaser and disappoint somebody every day. You will find, nicely, you will find they don't even notice most of the time, and you will feel stronger because you are doing what you believe is right. And sometimes what I think is right for me is not right for my friend.
Isn't it difficult if you have this going on, isn't it really difficult for folks that, you know, are in this place to make decisions? Isn't this the place where you really get stuck in terms of making decisions that come from the place of who you are?
Well, you're making decisions based on your emotion. And people that are pleasers, for instance, make decisions based on guilt because they'll feel badly and they will not be themselves and do what they think is right. Then they're going to get resentful. And in an extreme, we'll avoid social situations because who wants to be a pleaser and have to go along with other people's program and life and desires? You know, you just feel like a loser. So, your emotions are your enemy in that case. You've got to calm them down. I don't think any adult, because most of us know what's right or wrong, any adult, unless they inadvertently hurt somebody, trip somebody up, should feel guilt. If it's right for you, it's right for you, and you can tell somebody that honestly. And mostly they'll accept that. Most of that, and if they don't, you'll have to comfort them and comfort you. It's very important. And we get to the big ones, the last two fingers on the head of the five. Here's the big ones, the underground chronic emotions that really cripple people's confidence. And that's self-critical shame. Anything goes wrong, it's my fault. If I don't do the project the way my boss likes, there's something wrong with me, I'm stupid.
Yes, you're responsible for the fall of the company.
Everything, right? If my child doesn't get a B in school, then I'm doing something wrong as a mother, right? If my husband's unhappy, it's my job to cheer him up because he has to be happy all the time, or I'm a loser.
What's underneath that? What is underneath that?
What's underneath that is a very, really an immature habit. Children evaluate themselves all the time. They have to. Am I pleasing my mom and dad? Because if you please your mom and dad, you're safe. Is it safe, you know, to test the boundaries? They get criticized when they're naughty. They should, right? We
right.
have to correct our children. But if you were over-criticized or actually under-criticized and never got used to it, there's a kind of balance there, you're going to grow up with that immature habit of shame, blaming yourself like kids do. If mom's angry, we kids blame ourselves. We're a bad kid. Very black and white. Children are very black and white. They can't think, you know, the way adults can. And we're still doing that. My boss is angry, it's my fault. If my husband's miserable, it's my fault.
And we keep trying to please them. I mean, and we never succeed, really.
Well, we please them to avoid criticism. Really, we're doing it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we get resentful and sorry for ourselves, because who wants to be trapped in that? Nobody wants to put up with a pleaser anyway, because you don't trust them, really. You know, you sense the resentment. You sense they may not want to do it. And
right.
And you hear the sighs in the kitchen. You know, I have to make this three-course dinner every night. And I've worked all day. You know, pressing dishes in the kitchen.
And it's true. And, you know, and there are folks that are really at that place.
Oh, really? I mean, absolutely.
I have absolute compassion for people that are struggling with this because that is not what they're destined to be like.
No,
their lives.
They're not being themselves or the mature, confident person they could be. And deep down they know that. People will say, I'm my own worst enemy. They don't know what they mean by that, but they know it.
Well, they get it. I know I got it.
I did too. But I was in the last category. I was more of a powerless self-pitier. That was my specialty. The fifth finger, I'm the one, I think the worst, and I'll tell you why I think it's
okay.
Self-pity is the worst feeling in the world. All children have that. Anyone with kids right now, think about it. They whine, they complain, and they should. They need to get our attention. Right?
Right.
Or to a degree, anyway.
Well, that's one of their power tools. When you're a child, that's a power tool for you.
That's exactly right.
What are you going to do?
That's right.
What else are you going to do?
That's right. And because kids blame themselves, they want to blame other people, it's easier. So anyone who feels sorry for themselves is a blamer and a complainer. And I was very good at that, and I'm very verbal, so I could complain extremely well. You know, the world, my husband, my ex-husband, who ran out of money, spent all his money, the world, you know, my mother didn't raise me to be mature, it was her fault, you know, the kids, I mean, I had too much to do, I had no time, you know, the no time one, that's such a winner, we all have the same amount of time.
I know.
And I was a complainer, and I wanted to be taken care of, because if people complain, they want to be taken care of.
I got a pin one time. That said, no whining.
No whining.
I got a little pin to put that somebody gave me. I was totally offended by it, but I wore it anyway.
This is basic. I didn't even know that wasn't normal. I thought I'd get taken care of if I whined enough, and people would feel sorry for me. And I quickly learned all it does is anger other people, because nobody really wants to take care of an adult anyway, nor should they. But the trouble with self-pity, it's the powerless emotion. It's the one about feeling deprived, and people who feel deprived will binge. And here's why it's such a terrible way to feel. All binges, all people who use food, alcohol, gambling, over-shopping, whatever they do, are sorry for themselves. And you may not want to hear that because people feel shame when you say that. But they are feeling deprived. And if you're going to use it, and the brain will indulge if you feel deprived, we're always looking for balance in the human body. Always.
Is this a sense of helplessness?
Yes.
What is going on with this? Because there are some people that feel totally helpless.
Right.
I mean, they really feel like, there's nothing that can happen. There's nothing they can do.
And there's no point in trying.
No.
If they do, they'll fail.
Uh-huh.
And the people like that were not raised to know that they have the ability to take care of themselves. They either were neglected or they were over-nurtured. You know, if you over-nurture a kid, you spoil a kid. They don't grow up to feel competent to manage the world. If you over-criticize and neglect a kid, and too many people are like that, and it happens to them, they are going to be so resentful about that, see the world as a very dangerous, unloving place. And that's a very simple beginning to what I say, because I do in the book, you know, put your parents on the couch without any blame of them, unless they broke the law. I don't believe in complaining and blaming. But I do get you to understand how you got to where you are and what you can do to change it.
You do say this. As a matter of fact, I have this this page marked where you say, put your family on the couch.
That's right. That's right, and I have you do a little detective work and be your own shrink and find out how you got the emotional habits you do, and then, okay, now I get it, we can go forward and change it and get to the most important point in giving up these immature emotional habits, which is to the winning hand. And the winning hand for me and the central tenet in this book is the winning hand of comfort, because I think we should manage our emotions like I manage my bank account, like I manage my household affairs, like I manage my practice, like I drive. It's a skill to manage emotions. And if you don't have that skill, there's very good news. You can train yourself to have that skill. And if you said to me that I have to go out, I'm a good cook, but you have to go out and cook this dish, you have a week to do it, there's a big prize at the end of it. Any of us could do it. We don't have to be good cooks, right? Any of us could do it. And it takes longer than a week to learn to manage your feelings. But I give them people a program that once they understand their emotions, their immature emotions, I give them a program for training that brain. And believe me, brains love to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've learned it, like driving, you can't forget it.
But why, you know, let me ask you this question about this. Because there are folks that so love to be in that place where their lives are run by emotion.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What is the incentive for them to give it up? Because when you give it up, you're giving up a lot.
Well, I think the incentive is that human beings stick with what they know. They don't seek pleasure and avoid pain like psychology misled us over the years. They seek what they know. It's called Familiar.
I love that.
Familiar
that,
from family.
I love that. I've been waiting for someone. I've been waiting for someone to kind of dispute what we've learned, you know, growing up in the field of psychology.
Right, right. It's not true. I know so many people who seek pain. They're really good at it, right?
Exactly.
Just take a wife who gets beaten consistently and puts up with it. You know?
But it's familiar. It's what you know.
Familiar. It's what she knows. It's secure in a sense that the familiar is secure. You're safe with what you know. And that's the biggest enemy, I think, of progress in people's lives. But what they need to know that it's easier, the path to freedom, is to manage the emotions that keep you in that familiar place. The fear, the anxiety, the shame of being criticized, the self-pity, it's not worth trying. I could never take care of it. I could never be successful. I could never do it. That self-talk that makes us feel helpless. Manage that feeling. Get out of the box. The crust, as you say it. And it's easy. That's what's good to know. It's easy. You give up the binging, the pleasing, the complaining, the procrastinating and avoiding, all those handicaps on the other losing hand that prevent us from actually getting where we want to go. And I call it the path to freedom.
You know what? You're the first psychotherapist that I have ever heard, really, and I'm in the field of psych.
I know.
To say that it is easy.
It is easy.
Yes, I'm totally on the same page with you with this. But
okay.
This is really a breakthrough in the conversation.
Right.
About our emotions and about our lives and about the psychology of who we are. I mean, for us to say this is easy is an invitation for each and every person that listens to this show to really get that this does not have to be about the hardness, about the struggle. This is about letting go of it.
No, the struggle is staying with the familiar feelings.
Okay. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, wow, more with Dr. Sheena Hankin. We are talking about complete confidence. We will come back and talk about this invitation. The invitation is for each and every one of us, all of you listening to the show, to play your winning hand. I'm Dr. Pat Basila here with my special guest, Dr. Sheena Hankin, one of New York's most popular psychotherapists. You got to take a ticket to get in to see her. And we will come back with the book, more about how you can find out how to connect with Dr. Hankin. I'm Dr. Pat Basile. We'll be right back.
Connecting your world, the Internet's number one talk and information station, VoiceAmerica.com.
Cleanse, revitalize, and rejuvenate with Isagenics, a unique cleaning nutritional system. Find out why well-known authors Jack Canfield, co-author of The Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, both use and endorse this amazing nutritional technology. Thousands of people just like you are benefiting from this breakthrough cleansing, nutritional, and fat-burning program. Find out how you can benefit by calling 800-550-0742. That's 800-550-0742. And listen to Crust Busting with Dr. Pat Basile. Don't diet. Take control of your health. Cleanse, revitalize, and rejuvenate with Isagenics. Imagine losing 5 to 15 pounds in 9 days with our unique cleansing nutritional system. Call 800-550-0742.
Tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Health Masters with your hosts, Louis Moss and Pam Temple. Each week, Louis and Pam will discuss the latest in health and lifestyle breakthroughs, as well as bring you the Health Master Spotlight of the Week. So get healthy with Louis Moss and Pam Temple on Health Masters every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on America's Voice, VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you ready to move onward and upward physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Shift happens through professional coaching with Brenda Miller. Begin your journey of self-exploration and learning. Join certified professional coach Brenda Miller in a client-coach partnership. For more information, call Brenda at 206-529-8282. That's 206-529-8282. Or visit BrendaMiller.org. That's BrendaMiller.org.
The world's first healthy coffee has arrived. A rich blend of nutrition and pleasant aroma come together with a gourmet taste. Get energized, remove toxins, and build up your immune system with the miraculous king of herbs, Ganoderma lucidum. Organically grown without any pesticides, chemicals, or preservatives. Here's what people are saying.
I all of a sudden noticed that my belt buckle was definitely looser, and then, bam, it just all of a sudden happened, and I dropped about 15 pounds in about 8 weeks.
My body is functioning better. I'm more energetic. I'm able to do things physically that I haven't been able to do before. It's just wonderful.
Don't take our word for it. Check out the internet to discover thousands of positive page references to the health benefits of Ganoderma lucidum, also known as reishi mushroom. Call now to receive your free sample. 877-514-2233 or visit GodGano.org. The world's first healthy coffee. Health and wellness in every cup.
Business. Sports. Religion. Legal. Pets. Entertainment. You're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to Crossbusting Your Way to an Awesome Life with Dr. Pat. If you'd like to participate in today's program, call in at 1-888-335-5204. Now let's join Dr. Pat for some serious crossbusting.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening to this show each and every week. You have absolutely made this show an amazing success, and I am so grateful for that. Love each and every one of you, and really acknowledge the courage that you have to be really taking a look at how your life is unfolding and being willing to make the changes that you need to change, need to do. Today's show, amazing show. I'm here with Dr. Sheena Hankin. We are talking about the book, Complete Confidence, and the work that she does. And again, I just want to mention that she was named by the New York Times Magazine as one of New York's most popular psychotherapists. That is an amazing accomplishment. New York is a big place with a lot of folks doing this work. So thank you, Dr. Hankin, for joining the show today and for writing this book.
It's a joy. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about this winning hand thing.
Well, the winning hand of comfort, as I call it, is the heart of the book. And what this 5 steps on the winning hand do is give you a real methodology, a way to manage your feelings. Your upset feelings, your anger and anxiety, and the feelings that lurk beneath them, the self-critical shame and the helpless self-pity that lead to so much resentment and avoidance. And what I do is we start out, when you're upset, when you're angry or anxious, you don't have to act on your feelings. That's so many people do that. They run away or they attack or they get back at people quietly. Don't act on your feelings. Calm down just enough. And you can do that, but just saying calm down. The brain listens. Don't have to calm down very much to think clearly. The second finger on the losing hand, first one's calm. Second one is clarify. What am I feeling? And there's 2 questions to ask. It's in my book. It's on that list. Question is, what am I angry about? Am I angry because I'm humiliated? What am I or what am I anxious about? When mm-hmm. you've answered those questions, you get to the third finger, the challenge. And I like people to write down those things, especially if they're very emotional people. Write down those thoughts you have that you're angry or anxious about, feeling ashamed and sorry for yourself, and challenge them with the third finger. Here's where the cognitive part of the work comes in. Challenge those thoughts. You know, I'm a loser is a feeling. It's not a reality. Right?
No, it is. Right.
People don't like me is an assumption. It's not necessary. And so you challenge that thinking. And I like people to write it down. I used to write it down when I was over the top and all dramatic. I'm quite dramatic for a Brit. You know? And the third one of all, the fourth one, the most important one of all, most important, is what I call the winning hand of comfort. And what we do here is we find a phrase that talks to our brain and trains our brain not to overreact.
You say comforting your feelings is the key to confidence.
Key to confidence. Because once you get out of your own way with your feelings, you can think clearly, make great decisions, not be put off by people who are going to tell you you can't do it, right? Not be put off by people who criticize your ideas or criticize what you want, not please others, but do what's right for yourself and stick to your values and what you believe is true. You can only do that if you manage your feelings. And you do it by comforting, finally comforting them with a familiar phrase. And I say, Sheena, don't overreact. Because most of my feelings are caused by my dramatic overreacting. are very quiet people who are avoiding and hiding away are overreacting inside. So that's what I say. A lot of people say a lot of different things. Calm down. It's okay. The world's all fine. Whatever appeals to you. It's like a lullaby, a nursery rhyme, a repair. You like music. You know,
yes. Find something that works for you.
And it comforts the brain. And the fifth finger on the hand, where we're going, the fifth one, the big one, is confidence. That's the pathway to confidence. And I promise you it works. I promise so much. I commit myself in the beginning of the book. I sign on and have you sign on to commit to this work. Because if you do it, I promise you it works. I've seen it work over 20 years. I've seen the difference it's made in people's lives and mine. And I really want you to do it because this will make a difference to the whole USA.
Now, let's let people have some information. Let's give out some information here about your websites and how folks can get a hold of you.
Well, my name is Sheena Hankin, S-H-E-E-N-A-H-H-A-N-K-I-N, Sheena Hankin, at AOL.com. That's all one word. My book is called Complete Confidence. Again, all one word, Complete Confidence at AOL.com. And you can find information on both of those websites about me, about the book, about the workshop series that we're starting, so that people can really get hands-on training to do this, because I'm on a mission here and I won't be stopped.
So you can get this, if you can find out more on the Internet by going to www.completeconfidence.com. www.completeconfidence.com, or you can go to www.sheenahankin.com, SheenaHankin.com. Lots of, and now you're going to be doing workshops, aren't you?
We're starting a workshop program. We're just beginning to do that. We had a lot of demand for it, so we responded to that. And we're going to be doing everything from one day to two or three day workshops for people who want to work on confidence. And we're taking it into the areas that I do a lot of work with, which is advising people on careers, on parenting, how to raise confident kids, which I think is an amazing opportunity for people to take, because I certainly wasn't raised to be confident. My mother had a clue. She wasn't confident either. Loving woman, but didn't have a clue. And neither did I when I had my four kids. I had to learn. And I want to help people to do that, because that way we can avoid depression in most cases, then avoid having put people on all these meds. And I'm not against antidepressant medication for the few people that truly fit the diagnostic criteria.
Right.
But most people who call themselves depressed don't.
All right, so here's my question. This is something that I have a personal issue with.
Sure.
What is going on with the level of medication we are giving children?
Oh, I have a personal issue with this, too.
Yeah. Here we are, both of us getting our personal issue. I am so, my heart aches. And I see young people with amazing spirits, and they're just medicated.
What's going on here is that we don't know, no blame, that we don't know how to train our children to calm down enough to focus. This is a society where kids are entertained all the time. The media, there's movies, there's videos, there's parties, and play days, kids are entertained all the time. We entertain our children too much. We don't teach them to calm down and focus and concentrate. So we have these smart kids, and all kids are smart, get into school and they can't concentrate. So then we put them on drugs, the ones that are allied to cocaine, that same pharmaceutical pattern, and that will make you, I've never taken cocaine, but people who have tell me you get tremendous focus and drive from doing that. And we put these kids on this stuff, and then they focus and they get better grades, and we think we're helping them. There's no research on the long-term side effects on the immature brain, because you can't do research on the immature brain. No one would allow it. And I think and we're also teaching kids to be addicts. We're also teaching kids to use medication to calm their feelings, when I have a workable method to calm people's feelings, including kids' feelings. And you can get kids to calm your feelings. One of the lovely things I like to do with mothers and kids and fathers and kids is have train the kids to play act with you. So
yes.
To be upset, have them comfort you. Have them calm down. Have them stick with the thing to finish it. Most of these kids who are on drugs can't finish things. They get bored. They listen to their self-pity. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. They haven't learned to concentrate. And because it's dull to concentrate, and they don't realize that once you've done that for a while, it feels good to do what you don't feel like doing. Nothing feels good that you feel like doing, but you don't feel like doing.
Well, right. I mean, I just, I can't, there isn't a week that doesn't go by that I don't meet either a parent or a child that is on some form of that is giving medication to their children. And it is just mind-boggling for me. And I'm trying not to, you know, bring my place to a place of judgment about it because, I admit I'm not really the expert in the field. But I will say intuitively, for me, this seems really out of balance.
Why it's out of balance is it's too much of it. I mean, there were a few children, and I really have met ADHD kids. I've met a few in my life, and
right.
They really are helped by medication. And if they're that troubled and all over the place, it's really important. It's like depression. If a few people were taking this, you know, a small proportion of the population, that would be fine. It's so universal, it has to be wrong. It's so universal that if it's true, everybody has a learning disorder and everyone's depressed. It's almost universal. It's wrong. It's because people can't manage their feelings. What do these drugs do? They calm down the central nervous system, right? In some cases, in the ADHD field, they focus and make you, that you can't sleep, you focus and you can really concentrate. They channel the nervous system. But you can do that by training your kids to manage their feelings. And I don't blame, parents don't even know this, and we've really got to do that, because if we can do that, these children will be confident, they'll get out of their own way, they'll be able to do their homework, you won't be nagging them all the time, you won't be finding other ways to get them to be successful when they have that potential themselves.
Well, you know, what I'd like to talk about is in the next segment, we're going to take a short break. What I'd like to ask you about, Dr. Hankin, is, let me call it a mythology of sorts. Let me call it the myth of women have all the emotion and men don't.
Oh, I'd love to talk about that.
Let's talk about that, because that's the old, you know, I'm from Venus, you're from Mars. What does that mean? I know that's like a best-selling book, but does that mean, like, you know, I'm like way too emotional? This is what I'd like to talk to you about, Dr. Hankin, and for all of our listeners to hear. When we come back, more with Dr. Sheena Hankin. The book is, again, Complete Confidence. Go to www.completeconfidence.com. Find out about the book. Find out about the workshops. I'm Dr. Pat Basile, right here on Voice America, America's Voice. We'll be right back.
Bringing the world together. You're listening to America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Introducing the world's first healthy coffee, already in 20 countries around the world, and finally available in North America. You won't believe how great you'll feel drinking this delicious gourmet coffee delivering the king of herbs, Ganoderma lucidum. 2.4 billion pounds, one-third of all coffee consumed in the world is consumed in the USA. That's 250 million cups per day. The average American consumes 3 to 4 cups daily. How would you like to start your own coffee distribution for as little as $305? Become part of the community of health-conscious coffee drinkers and make as much money as you want working from home. Imagine building a residual income from one of the world's most popular beverages. It doesn't get any easier than this. Inviting people to try a healthy gourmet coffee that will save them thousands of dollars a year. Get Ganoderma for your health and wealth. Call now for more information at 877-514-2233 to find out more. Again, that number is 877-514-2233 or visit us at gotgano.org.
Hi, this is Jack Canfield, and you're listening to Crust Busting Your Way to an Awesome Life with Dr. Pat Basile.
Are you ready to move onward and upward physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Shift happens through professional coaching with Brenda Miller. Begin your journey of self-exploration and learning. Join certified professional coach Brenda Miller in a client-coach partnership. For more information, call Brenda at 206-529-8282. That's 206-529-8282. Or visit BrendaMiller.org. That's BrendaMiller.org.
Dr. Pat Basile.
Go, go, goji. Author of the Vitamin Bible, Dr. Mindell, has discovered the most nutritionally dense food on the planet, and it comes in the form of a delicious juice. Here are some of the results.
Rocky, Jackson, Mississippi. I had severe arthritis from a back injury. In 2 days, I had no more pain.
This is Ray Riedel from Yakima, Washington. My blood sugar count dropped 60 points in the first 10 hours thanks to goji juice.
Tony from Florida. I had an irregular heartbeat for the past 40 years. I feel wonderful now.
I had high cholesterol. In just 5 days, it dropped from 230 to 167. Thank you, Goji Juice.
Call in and ask for your free copy of the Women's World Weekly Magazine article on this major, major breakthrough, the Himalayan Goji Juice. And don't forget to request a free copy of the Himalayan Health Secret. Call now, 1-800-301-5990. That's 1-800-301-5990. And remember, go, go, Goji.
Business, sports, religion, legal, pets, entertainment. You're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome back to Crossbusting Your Way to an Awesome Life with Dr. Pat. If you would like to participate in today's program, call in at 1-888-335-5204. Now let's join Dr. Pat for some serious crossbusting.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Dr. Sheena Hankin, and boy, this is a book. It's I would like to read something from the back of the book, and it's written by Ron Howard, and those of you that are familiar with the movie industry, Ron Howard is an Academy Award-winning director and actor. This is what Ron says. Sheena Hankin's words of wisdom, always delivered with integrity, compassion, and humor, never fail to help our family navigate today's emotional minefields. Her new book is an invaluable read for anyone looking for answers. Thank you so much for writing this book and joining the show. We have a caller. Why don't we take our caller? I believe it's Nima from New Jersey. Hi, Nima.
Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Hi, Dr. Hankin.
Hi. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. I am thrilled at this book. I didn't know about it, and of course that's why I listened to Dr. Pat's show, to get exposure to incredible tools. And I want to help the conversation about men and women and emotion, because I am a man who, over the last 2.5 years, I'd say, since my daughter was born, and that was 5 years ago, I've been stepping into that emotional minefield. I used to live from a place of absolute logic, reason. I was, you know, Mr. Spock, and anything that was emotional was like absolute anathema. And in stepping into this emotional minefield, I've hit some mines, and I'm wondering what kind of suggestions you would offer to somebody like me looking to build. I mean, I have the confidence in me, but I'm trying to bring it out. And, you know, just how would you advise, in a nutshell, what would you say? I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's a very important thing to know what you're feeling. And, you can't deny what you're feeling, because it'll creep up on you anyway. But I would look at two feelings to begin with, anxiety and anger, and look at how you manage those. If you manage anger maturely, calmly, blame-free, stating honestly what you're disappointed or upset with your daughter, for instance, and ask her to change that, if you do that maturely, you'll be confident. If you're not doing it maturely by not sharing it, not getting in touch with it, not believing it, or you're getting very angry and too critical, and then you're not handling it maturely. With anxiety, ask yourself, am I anxious of being humiliated? Am I frightened of being criticized? I'm too helpless to get what I want. If you're anxious a lot, and human adults should not be anxious at all very much of the time, because nothing bad happens. If you're anxious, you need to learn to calm your feelings. With the method that I wrote about in my book, which is basically a skills-based training program for the brain. You know, brains are mechanical, wonderful things, and you're certainly in touch with yours.
Mm.
You can train it to do better for you.
Right, right. That prospect is so exciting to me.
It is. It changed my life. So.
And it sounds like it. I do want to commend you. Your story is incredible.
Well, thank you. I'm sure yours is too, though. And none of us are finished with our story. So with confidence, we can go on and do even greater things. All of us, every one of us, even people who don't even believe that. You're not right. You can.
Or believe that it has to be hard.
Right.
And that the process of breaking through this has to be a struggle.
It's not a struggle. It's the path to freedom, confidence. Freedom from anxiety, freedom from immature anger, freedom from guilt, freedom from horrible critical shame, and freedom from powerless self-pity. Who wouldn't want to take that deal, right?
Who wouldn't want that winning hand?
That sounds good to me.
Well, thank you so much, Nima. Thank you so much for listening
thank
to the
you.
Show.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Have a great
you guys
day.
Have an awesome one.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
In complete confidence. Well, you know, thank you, Dr. Hankin, for sharing that and for really helping each and every person that's listening to this show and will be listening to this show, you know, to really create the winning hand in their lives. And you know, the thing I want to ask you about, and the couple of things, I want to really have that conversation about men versus women. I mean, you know, Nima, you know, pointed to the fact that, you know, he basically, you know, was analytical, so forth and so on. And that's what we say. I mean, the whole thing I alluded to, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. But the connotation with that is, like, women are, like, emotional.
That's right.
We hear this all the time. We hear it in the work. We're nailed for it in performance reviews. What's up with that?
Well, of course, it's based on a misconception that women are, you know, sensitive creatures who feel pain and are much more caring than men. And men are these hard-hearted, you know, rational Dr. Spock types. Actually, he wasn't all that hard-hearted. But, you know, aren't driven by emotion, actually condemn emotion. I mean, I don't know where this started. It's the blame game is what it is. You know, men blame women for being too weak and sensitive, and women blame men for not taking care of them and not being caring. And it's really the blame game, and it makes all of us victims if we believe that. The research does not hold up on the differences between men and women. There are very minor differences between men and women.
But, you know, I'll tell you something, because, you know, this is one of your neighbors, actually, in New York. I mean, I was so struck by the, I don't know what it was, whether it was the last Apprentice show with Donald Trump, I can't remember. But the person that actually did get hired cried during the show.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, in my opinion, going to be a breaking point in terms of whether or not he was going to hire her.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because she cried out of joy and out of compassion for how the people on her team celebrated her. That's what her tears were about.
And the men cry tears of joy, too. I think it's when we cry tears of self-pity, which is immature, right, in the job, right? We're sorry for ourselves, and we cry because we're looking to be comforted. I do think any immature act by a man or a woman is a no-no in business. I really do, because people don't want to have to comfort us. They're not our friends. They're not our parents. They don't want to have to do that. So tears of joy, I mean, anyone who doesn't hire someone because they're happy, you know, crying because of happiness. And we all cried at my secretary Maureen's wedding last week, all of us. She's been with us 20 years. It was a joyful day. We all cried, men and women alike, because she's a wonderful person. That's fine. But I really don't think, I think women often, frankly, use tears very often. They think it's okay to cry. It's kind of a cultural thing that women can cry, and men, you know, have got to do this stiff upper lip thing and not show what they're feeling. I think that's cultural. It's not true. We're all feeling the same way inside. I find men are enormously sensitive to criticism, just like women. Enormously self-critical, just like women. They often feel enormously helpless, just like many women do. And I think it's a mistake. And if you're busy blaming the opposite sex, and especially if you're single, right?
Yes.
And then you're really in trouble because you're living by a myth. And don't live your life by a myth. Men are like us. I love that phrase because I'm a woman. And if you're a man listening, women are like you too. We have the same feelings. There are no separate psychological treatments for men and women. If we were different, we'd have separate psychologies, wouldn't we? We don't. We treat them the same way.
Well, that's a very interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have separate psychology, do we?
No, we don't.
We don't have the psychology degree that you get for treating men and the psychology degree that you get for treating women.
That's exactly right. And there's the proof.
I hadn't really thought about that.
There's the proof that, you know, there isn't any real difference. There really isn't any real difference. Especially emotionally, there's no difference. So, you know, when you see somebody who's stiff upper lip and you know, looks like he doesn't care, you don't know what's going on inside. You could be devastated inside.
All right, here's the question I want to ask you, because I hear this a lot. I'm too old to change.
Oh, I love that one. That's the greatest excuse in the world, right?
I'm too young to change, and I'm too old to change. Too young to know, too old to change.
I'm too young, you can't expect it of me, they say. And then the baby boomers particularly, and there's many of us right now, say, oh, we're too old, we can't, you know, it's too late, I miss my opportunities. Well, everybody's missed opportunities, everybody. It's really a myth, and it's an excuse to feel, you know, victimized, to be ashamed of yourself because you didn't make the most of your life. Our 50s and 60s particularly are the age of power. It's true. We have more money usually, right? My children are raised. That's part of the reason we have more money. We are free to do more of what we want. We have a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. A lot of experience. And I think it's a joyful time. And let's face it, we all look better than our parents did, mostly anyway.
Yeah.
We're fitter, we're better dressed, we're health conscious, right? We spend money, and I hope people do money they have on looking good. I really believe that looking good makes you feel good. I don't like that it's all on the inside business. You know, the outside helps, so go out and get that haircut. Buy that dress, and as I say in my book, if you've got good legs, wear fishnets. I don't care if you're 60.
Yeah.
Old is the biggest excuse in the world, and if you're doing that one, stop right now and take another look at life.
It's very interesting what we do with the age thing. Well, thank you so much for joining the show. In the closing minutes, I would like to ask you, what is your personal message for our listeners?
My personal message to listeners is don't talk yourself out of doing anything you want to do. And secondly, try to give up blame. Try to give up blaming yourself and blaming others. When you get rid of that emotion, the anger that's caused by blame at yourself or others and the shame and self-pity, you can think clearly. You have a great brain for thinking clearly. When you make it clear, you make good decisions.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Sheena Hankin. The book is Complete Confidence. Go to www.completeconfidence.com. I'm Dr. Pat Basile. This is your show, Crustbusting Your Way to an Awesome Life. If you want to sign up and find out my guests for the future, go to www.crustbusting.com. A lot of exciting things happening on the show. We're even going to give away a weekend at a 5-star resort. I'm Dr. Pat Basile. Make yourself a fabulous day.
Thank you for joining us today for Crust Busting with Dr. Pat Basile. Crust Busting with Dr. Pat can be heard live every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com. For a copy of today's program or to learn more about Crust Busting, visit www.crustbusting.com.